Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5. The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. Text 25. Tatra Adrista Swarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutim Abruta Daivibi Girbi To Avihita Indriya Tatra Drishta Swarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutim Abruta Daivi Bhir Girbhistva Vahitendriya Tatra
There,
at the Lord's abode, known as Sweta Dweep, Adrista Swarupaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was not seen, even by Lord Brahma. Shruta Purvaya, but who was heard about from the Vedas. Vai, indeed, Prabhu, Lord Brahma, Stutim, prayers derived from Vedic literature, Abruta, performed, Daivibi, prayers mentioned in the Vedic literature, or offered by persons strictly following Vedic principles. Girbi, by such sound vibrations or songs, to then, Avahita Indriya, fixed in mind, without deviation. Translation. There, at Sweta Dweep, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literature, with a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Please repeat. There at Sweta Dweep, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord. Simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Vedic literature. With a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Svetadvipa, they cannot directly see Him. But their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word śrutapūrvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on earth, many, many people saw him, but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ava jananti mam mudha manusim tanum ashritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvipa. Thus he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. In this paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is discussing the phrase śrutapūrvaya. Lord Brahma heard about the Lord from Vedic literature, even though he had not seen the Lord. Hearing is more important than seeing. People are prone to demand, "Can you show me God?" But what is your qualification to see God? Do you have the eyes to see the Lord? If you're qualified, you can see him. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Those whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love of God, they always see God in his beautiful form of Shyam Sundar within their heart of hearts. But if you don't have the eyes to see God, how can you expect to see him? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naham Sarvasa, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. He is not manifest to anyone and everyone. For the fools and rascals, he is covered by the curtain of Maya, or we should say their vision is blocked by the curtain of Maya. Five thousand years ago, when Lord Krishna was present on earth, anyone and everyone could see him without qualification. We say that Lord Krishna was present on earth 5,000 years ago. Actually, Krishna is always present everywhere. When we say that he was present on earth 5,000 years ago, we mean that anyone and everyone could see him 5,000 years ago. Whereas at other times, people cannot see him unless they have the qualification of love for him. But 5,000 years ago, anyone could see him who happened to be on the planet at the time, in his proximity. But even though they saw him, most people could not understand him. And therefore, what was the benefit of seeing him? Lord Brahma is more fortunate because he could understand the Lord by hearing. It's better to understand the Lord by hearing than to see the Lord and misunderstand him. And therefore, the beginning of spiritual understanding is hearing. The beginning of devotional service is hearing. Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Shravanam comes first. When Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he says, Tat Shrinu, hear from me. So that is the process, and by the mercy of Krishna, of Lord Brahma and the disciplic succession, of Srila Prabhupada, we are able to hear about Krishna and understand him. And by understanding him, we can develop faith in him. Adoshraddha. The beginning of spiritual advancement is faith. And the faith is awakened by hearing from proper authorities. And when we have faith, we can offer prayers to the Lord and have confidence that he will hear our prayers and answer them. Take the needful action as he thinks best. In the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada discusses stuti, the prayers themselves. These prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse by the words Daivi Bir Girbi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. cinema songs is the appropriate phrase in the Indian context. Here we would probably say popular music. We generally sing two songs. Who can guess what the two songs are? Huh? Correct. Correct. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Lochan Das Thakur. But these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. So, offering prayers is also one of the important items of devotional service, one of the nine main items. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. Vandana means offering obeisances or offering prayers. And Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentions two subdivisions of prayers. One is stuti, which is mentioned here. Stuti are verses from Vedic literature or prayers that have been offered by great authorities in the past. For example, when we greet the deities, we sing the prayers from Sri Brahma Samhita. So this is stuti. The other category is called stava. Stava are prayers that are one's own composition. They spring from one's own heart. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we pray? Is there any particular form that a prayer should take? Of course, the main thing is the feeling of the heart for Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada did say that generally one begins by glorifying the object of one's prayer. Then one states one's own disqualification, expresses his own fallen condition. And third, one prays for mercy. One example is the song by Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. He says, Patita Pavana Hetu Avatar, that you are famous as the deliverer of the fallen. Mo Samo Patita Prabhu, and I am the most fallen. Na Pai Be Ar, therefore you should be merciful to me. The very striking prayer that you are famous as the deliverer of the fallen, and I'm the most fallen. Therefore, my claim comes first. This is the mood of genuine humility of the devotee. And when that mood, that humility, that dānya arises within the heart, then one can offer prayers. In the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself tasted the meanings of the Shikshastika prayers. And in so many places, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions that dānya, abject humility, arose in the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus he recited the following verse from the Shikshastika. So that is the most important qualification, humility. Most important. Humility attracts the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. As if a negative approaches positive, the more, of course, this is not mundane negativity, like being negative about yourself or being negative about others, but when one feels oneself to be minus, that attracts the supreme plus. Attracts his attention, attracts his mercy, attracts his love. But it must be genuine. If we're sincerely making all efforts to progress in Krishna consciousness, we'll naturally feel humble because we'll perceive how far we fall short of our aspiration, of our goal. If we're complacent, if we think we're all right, I'm doing fine, I'm doing great, then we can't really approach the Lord in humility, and we are not fit receptacles to receive his mercy. We will receive if we're going through the motions of devotional service. Even then we will get mercy. But when we really make an effort to serve purely, and we realize how far short we fall, then we'll feel humble, and the Lord will help us. He'll see our genuine desire and he'll help us. Sometimes devotees read the prayers of the previous acharyas and they echo the same words without the feeling. Once a disciple approached Srila Prabhupada, said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Srila Prabhupada replied, "You are not the most anything." And of course, humility is shown by obedience. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that the Shikshastaka is so important, it's the essence of Krishna consciousness given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. But the spiritual master is so important in Krishna consciousness. Where do we find the spiritual master in the Shikshastaka? And Srila Prabhupada replied, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. But Trinadapi sunichena, if one actually feels oneself to be lower than the grass, in other words, if one is humble, more humble than a blade of grass, he will accept a spiritual master because he'll feel that he needs help. If someone is proud, he won't accept a spiritual master. Or officially, he may accept a spiritual master for some external reason, but internally, he won't accept a spiritual master because he's proud. He thinks he can take care of himself. He can, you know, lead his own life, make his own decisions, make his own progress. When Hiranyakasipu asked his son Prahlad what was the best thing he had learned in school, Prahlad replied, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Hiranyakasipu was a big demon. He had given Prahlad to the charge of the Brahmins, two Brahmin teachers, so that Prahlad could learn to become a good materialist, like his father, learn politics and diplomacy and how to divide and conquer and rule. And Prahlad came out with this answer, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Vishnu, Hiranyakasipu considered Vishnu to be his worst enemy because Vishnu had killed Hiranyakasipu's brother, Hiranyaksha. And so Hiranyakasipu took Vishnu to be his bitterest enemy and he vowed to avenge his brother's death by killing Vishnu. And here Prahlad is saying that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, that the best thing he's learned is to hear about Vishnu, glorify Vishnu, remember Vishnu. So Hiranyakasipu became furious on hearing this answer. And he called for the boy's teachers. That he called them Brahma Bandhus, friend of Brahmins, not actually Brahmins. Because they were not trustworthy. He gave his son to them to train to be a materialist and Here he had become a devotee of Vishnu, so they were not trustworthy. Therefore, Brahma Bandhu, they're not real Brahmins. So he accused them that you have taught him this. You have taught him devotion to Vishnu. He said, no, we haven't. He accused them that you've allowed Vaishnavas in disguise to enter and teach him. They said, no, we haven't. So he said, then how did he become Krishna conscious? And the two teachers replied, they addressed Hiranyakasipu, who is Indra Shatru, the enemy of Indra. He addressed them as Brahma Bandhu, you know, so-called Brahman. So they retaliated and called him Indra Shatru, the enemy of Indra, enemy of the demigods. So Hiranyakasipu said, well, if you didn't teach him and no Vaishnavas came in disguise to teach him, how did he become Krishna conscious? They said, he's naturally Krishna conscious. You better ask him how he became Krishna conscious. So Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad. And Prahlad replied that one cannot become Krishna conscious by one's own efforts. One cannot become Krishna conscious by the efforts of others. And one cannot become Krishna conscious by the combined efforts of oneself with others. Now, logically, Prahlad seems to have excluded every possibility. But then he said, Naisham matistavad urukramangrim sprishartyanartha pagamoyad artha mahiyashan padarajo bishekam niskinchananam navranita yavat. That one can become Krishna conscious by smearing his body with the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is completely free from material desires. And by that method, one can become free from all unwanted miseries, anarthas. Anartha pagamo. One becomes free from all anarthas. So, indirectly, Prahlad was saying that you've asked how one can become Krishna conscious. But, my dear father, actually Prahlad called him the greatest of the demons, my dear greatest of the demons, you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious because you're too puffed up. You'll never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. You'll never take the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee on your head. So you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious. So humility is really the key that opens the door to bhakti. By humility we surrender. In fact, Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his description of the six divisions of surrender in Hari Bhakti Vilas, one of the six is humility. Without humility, you can't surrender. And without surrender, you can't really take to the process of devotional service, pure devotional service. So humility is required. And then one can offer sincere prayers. One other point mentioned in the verse is avahita indriya. Lord Brahma was fixed in mind without deviation. So that should be how we pray. Lord Brahma was fixed in mind without deviation. So when we pray by singing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we should do so with a fixed mind. And if we're in the mood of genuine humility, naturally our mind will be fixed because we'll feel completely dependent on the Lord. That's also one of the divisions of surrender, to feel completely dependent on the Lord. And depending on the situation, if that mood is not there, we can make efforts to control the mind. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that whenever the mind deviates due to its unsteady and flickering nature, one should bring it back to the self. And that is our effort. That is part of our sadhana, part of our effort. There are three phases in chanting, or three stages. The offensive stage, nam-aparad. The clearing stage, nam-abhas. And the pure stage, shuddhanam. And the clearing stage is defined as the stage in which one is continuously endeavoring to chant without offense, which means to chant with attention. That means that every moment one is endeavoring to chant and hear with attention. Then one can achieve anartha abhagamo. One can become free from all anarthas. Anartha nivritti, that one can pass through anartha nivritti by offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting means the clearing stage. It means the effort to chant without offense. One hasn't yet come to the pure stage in which one actually develops love for God, but one is in the clearing stage where one is endeavoring to avoid all offenses at all times, not just when chanting, but at all times. Because what we do when we're not chanting affects our consciousness when we are chanting. So that's the clearing stage. And that will cleanse the heart, Chaito Darpano Marjanam, and enable us to chant with true feeling, with love. Of course, kirtan is such a powerful process. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that chanting loudly in the association of other devotees has a special potency to evoke spiritual feelings, even in the hearts of neophytes. Of course, not that last night. I mean, I was like struck by the enthusiastic kirtan after the prasad. The devotees just really chanting very loudly and enthusiastically. They're obviously feeling some spiritual emotion while chanting. So that's how powerful kirtan is. But our most essential process is japa. Srila Prabhupada said, of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instructions to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. So we chant 16 rounds, and we endeavor to do so without offense, with attention. And by the effort to chant with attention, anartha nivritti, the eradication of anarthas, takes place. And one progresses to more advanced stages of devotional service. So it takes some work. We have to make our effort and at the same time depend on the mercy of the Lord. And in the humble mood of prayer, along with our genuine efforts, our ardent endeavors, that combination of our effort and the Lord's mercy will bring us success. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Gornataraj Prabhu.
When the demigods do yajñas and all, Lord Vishnu appears. So that's what is that, like an expansion of expansion? It's not the Supreme Lord, because here says they don't see the Lord, but they also see him when they do yajña. It says Vishnu comes and accepts their offerings.
Yes. Well, if the demigods perform a sacrifice to please Vishnu, and if Vishnu is pleased and comes, that's Vishnu. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's mentioned here is that when they go to the shore of the ocean of milk and pray to the Lord in Sweta Dweep, they don't see him. But they have faith that he's there and that he will hear their prayers and the needful action will be taken. But it's, yes, it is true that they see him on occasion, they can see him on occasion. But even we may have some glimpse when hearing or chanting or serving, we may have some glimpse of Krishna's mercy, of Krishna's name, the power of Krishna's name, the beauty of Krishna's form, how sublime are his qualities, how wonderful are his activities. But after that glimpse, we can forget, we become covered. And even though we had the experience, our faith wavers because that experience has passed and now we're not having that same type of experience. So it's possible that one can see the Lord, and even then one's faith can be tested. But here the idea is that even though they can't see him, they still have faith that he's there and he will hear their prayers and he will respond. Yes.
Another purport, Prabhupada says that we must not listen to mundane songs and just listen to Krishna conscious songs. But even in a moment, there are some albums that devotees have released by Michael Cassidy or Village of Peace and stuff. Can we listen to these songs at least? Only to the songs that are sung in temple? How do we...
Yes. Srila Prabhupada wrote specifically seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. Now, the particular albums that you mentioned, the songs sung by Mangalananda Prabhu, many of the words were actually written by Jamadagni Prabhu, and Village of Peace by Sri Prahlad. Those really are the same as what Prabhupada taught. George Harrison wrote a song. My voice isn't very good, but... Oh, I'm missing you, Krishna. Krishna, where are you? Srila Prabhupada said that was just in the mood of the six Goswamis. He approved of it. He said that's exactly in the mood of the six Goswamis. I think the ones you mentioned in particular are quite good. I think they're quite good. Once Tripurari Swami, a famous book distributor in ISKCON, he would tell people that he would give people a book, you know, present them a book and tell them that this book teaches you how to live in harmony with nature and to realize your full potential and become happy in life. And people would take the book. So some devotees were concerned that he wasn't really presenting the philosophy the way Srila Prabhupada did. They were concerned that he was deviating or compromising. So eventually they approached Srila Prabhupada and told him what Tripurari Swami would say. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's exactly what I say. But he's made it sweeter, just like the shuka, the parrot. Makes the mango sweeter. But so Prabhupada approved. I mean, he's being very strict here because he doesn't want concoctions. Doesn't want concocted mantras or songs that, you know, purport to deal with higher topics, you know, which could contain rasabhas if they're coming from someone who's not a realized soul. But I think those songs that present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in simple language are acceptable. I think those in particular that you mentioned are acceptable, in my humble opinion. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Check out the key, let's try to keep this in the game.